Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I just can't say episode. Yeah. I can say episode.
Yes, that was
the way I did.
All right, apologies.
Number 288 of the flagship podcast 20 Minute Tims. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm joined by Melly.
You are?
And Stephen.
Happy New Year, folks. I don't know if we're still allowed to say that on the 10th or whatever it is, but Happy New Year anyway. It's good to be back, though.
I am keeping it going. I've got someone in particular hanging on. They sent me the Happy New Year text, and they're not getting a reply until at least February. So I'm just going to...
When it comes.
When it comes. Happy New Year when it comes. I've already said when we end up back at Celtic Park, which looks like it might not be... For the Hibs game in a couple of weeks, then I will be shaking hands and saying Happy New Year to everyone.
I struggle with the shaking hands because now...
Because of COVID.
Well, I'm going to shake hands and they're doing the fist bump, then I'll change to the fist bump and they'll change to shaking hands. It's awkward,
you need to come from afar. You don't surprise people. Like, don't put out like a limp hand and then last minute. You have to do the...
things have gotten so bad. Yes. Things have gotten
need this. And then they know what they're getting.
Well, things have gotten so awkward with the handshaking and physical contact with what we've been through in the last couple of years that someone who's watching this, someone who is editing this, thank you, Mark, will know that when I met him a couple of weeks ago, or a few
did
weeks ago.
Did you try and kiss him on the lips? I didn't. Because you used to do that.
But when we'd never met, but... A peek behind the curtain here. I had to hand him over some editing materials. He went for a handshake and I put a memory card right in his hand.
Strictly business. That's enough of your
American psycho or something.
Enough of your fucking pleasantry. I'm not here to be your friend, Mark. Get that edited immediately. January means it's a new year, and it also means it's the year for you to support our Patreon. Patreon.com/20MinuteTims. Look, we don't need to do the hard sell. If you like this podcast and you want more from us, you want the games covered by Celtic fans, patreon.com/20MinuteTims. You can sign up there. Might as well chip in £5, £9 a month. Absolute buttons. You'll not even notice it coming out your account, but it'll make you feel good and you get to enjoy more brilliant content from us, patreon.com.
Make us feel good as well. Let's face it, make everybody feels good.
Everyone feels good. And it helps us push the podcast on, reinvest in the podcast, all that good stuff. patreon.com/20MinuteTims. Speaking of reinvesting, Michael Nicholson.
Oh, simmer down, son.
The guy has been on the Christmas bevy because Dermot checkbook must have smoke coming off it. With three signings in, Hatate, Maeda and Adiguchi, Stephen, they come in.
Nailed it, by the way, well done.
Professionals. They come in very, very early. The thing that we've been saying for years on this podcast, get them in early. Ange wanted them in early so they could take part in the early trading sessions. The business was getting done pretty sharp.
It was head spinning stuff. It was absolutely bewildering because the last time, it would be 2 weeks ago, the last time we convened in this here studio and we spoke about these players because the links had become heavier and basically everybody kind of knew these players were about to join Celtic for several weeks. I think it was leaked in the media quite some time ago because, as we've often discussed a couple of times, Japanese media don't mess about for some reason. They're really dealing that kind of tittle-tattle that we do over here. So basically everybody knew about it and we spoke about it 2 weeks ago. We discussed what we thought about the impending potential signings. And then all of a sudden they were all in at the same time. They were all in the door. There was a couple of stories about how one was in London, one was doing their medical. And then on New Year's Eve, they had basically all signed. So whatever's happened to Celtic then... Fair play to them for getting in early. And not only early, but it was illegal. They signed them in December, so they can't register anymore. I saw a tweet about that, which was hilarious.
Oh, crackpots on Twitter. Rangers one specifically. It's not like them. Mainly, I think it's pretty obvious looking at the way that the injuries were going and how stretched the squad was and how often some players were having to take to the pitch and just pull minutes out their arse to get through games. Bodies were required.
Yeah, bodies were required. And it's kind of... three in at once. It was all spoken about, oh, they're coming from Japan, maybe they'll all sign at once. And being a Celtic fan, you're just like, nah, they'll string it out. Yeah. They'll leave it to the last week because they can save 4 weeks' wages if they do that. But to get them in before they're even, they can even officially come in the door is tremendous. They look ideal because we do need bodies, but at the same time, we need quality, and they look quality as well. So delighted with it getting in, and it's not stopped since.
No, no. It's the first time in a while I can remember a Celtic manager. Obviously, you never know, right? Because Brendan Rodgers, he definitely wanted Scott Sinclair. So that's an example of a Celtic manager who's pinpointed the exact player, says, go and get him for me. But in this case, you can say for sure that Ange has pinpointed four players, the four Japanese guys that have come in. Maybe one or two others, you're not sure. But these guys weren't previously scouted. They weren't brought by agents. Yeah, these are four guys that the Celtic manager went, go and get me them. And we've got exactly the players the manager wants.
They're not doo-doo-dahan ones.
Oh, no, they're not doo-doo-dahan, no.
He'll be sitting looking at his phone going, what's happening here?
He's staring at the window.
He's not had a phone call on this for ages.
It's
remarkable. He gave us a bad on the summer, incidentally.
That's true. It is remarkable getting stuff done this early because we've been doing this long enough to know that this doesn't happen. No. You may get one quite early on, but it's one of these quote-unquote, like, debatable projects, some teenager comes in or something. Something like that comes in, and then we'll probably see a little bit of flurry on deadline day. So for it to come in New Year's Eve is remarkable stuff from Celtic. I know that a lot of that will be played into by the fact that they're coming from a completely different continent, and therefore the seasons line up differently. So that's probably helped in that regard. They're not having to manage it around games, say, try to sign players from the Championship who are playing about eight games a week at this time of year and all that. So that obviously has helped. But even before we get into the suitability of these players and what positions they're going to cover and all that, to get three, what looks like ready-made, at least at the very, on the surface of things, cover and or competition for places, is some going for Celtic, yeah.
You don't need to worry about what these players are going to bring. You don't need to look at YouTube clips. We pay for a scout to go and look at every player that signs for Celtic when they arrive, and that is on patreon.com/20minutetims. You can check that out if you sign up. We have had all these players scouted. That podcast will be out probably this week. In the next couple of days anyway, you'll be able to get a hold of that. Three very different players here, Melly. I think the one that people are most excited about is Daiz Maeda, J-League top goal scorer, going to be up there with Furuhashi up front for Celtic. We don't imagine he's going to be a player that's going to be off the bench playing an option. Rio Hatate's a bit of a utility man, can play a number of positions, but Ange said he sees him as an attacking midfielder.
Officially listed as a utility player, which is quite unusual from Celic. They tweeted that he was a utility player.
One right behind you as well.
Yeah, of course, Charlie McGrew. Surrounded by a galaxy of stars on this back wall here. Yeah. Charlie McGrew, black it here.
MD that watched the Christmas episode will remember those. And then Idiguchi coming in. He's the one, Stephen, I think you said before we brought him in, he's the one that sort of raised your eyebrows a wee bit. You'd be more interested to see what he offers. I think Maeda's going to be more or less a finished article. I'm expecting him, and I'm excited to see him come in, hit the ground running.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
Also, I did sell you a dummy there, Stephen. Sorry.
Gave me the eyes.
I
totally agree with that. My views on these individual players haven't changed since the last time we spoke about them, because for obvious reasons, they haven't played yet. What I'm doing is I'm working from the supposition that they are going to be good and working backwards from there. So if we look at the type of player that we've brought in, we look at the state of the squad before we did this as well, and what we found out was that we can't afford to lose as many attacking players as we did in the one go. Lost Jota, Forrest, Kyogo, and then you drop it down to Giakoumakis and Adjeti as well. We're missing all these players at the same time, so that has at least sought to address that. And for the first time in quite a while, Celtic actually look quite stocked in most positions in the team. Goalkeeper is probably still a bit of an issue because we're missing Joe Hart there, and we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel for replacements there. But across the board, look pretty good in most positions now.
So we're looking at Hatate. We'll take Hatate first, Melly.
You're Hatate, if anyone is, mate.
Hatate Muncher. He's, for me, he looks like the one that's going to maybe be in competition with David Turnbull.
It could be. It doesn't have much competition now because Turnbull's out for a while, but we've seen when Turnbull went out and you're completely relying on Rogic to make something happen. It's no fair. And the same other way about, if we're completely relying on Turnbull and Rogic isn't there, those two players at the start of the season when we were looking at the squad, I thought, oh, they're not going to be able to play the full season. Turnbull's had injuries in the past, and So we weren't sure if he would have the stamina to play in an Ange team. Turns out he does, and he's played most games until he gets his injury. Rogic as well has surpassed expectations by playing so much, but that can only take you so far, and we've seen that when Turnbull get injured. A long layoff for him, and again, we're moving Callum McGregor forward. We're having to bring in players that we maybe wouldn't want to do and change things around. With this, it gives us options in there, and he looks like he's going to be that midfielder, winger that can fill in everywhere, and from what I've seen of him, he looks good, man. And it's weird signing players, free players, and they all look decent, and thinking this is going to improve us early in January before we've got any games. I'm uneasy at this feeling. Is there something wrong?
What's the catch? Is that what you're saying? I just want to stay on Hitati a wee minute. Sort of attack midfielder, Steven makes a sort of third man runs, late runs into the box and all that sort of stuff. Didn't actually score a lot in Japan, not a lot of assists, but as a player that, again, this word that always comes up with a lot of the Japanese players and a lot of the players that Ange wants his team, work rate.
Oh yeah, utmost importance, because the chat in the summer with some of the signings was that they simply just don't fit that mould. And I'm thinking namely James McCarthy. Like, a lot of eyebrows were raised when saying James McCarthy, because, you know, for various reasons, he doesn't necessarily fit into what you've just described there, Jamie. So what I'm expecting out of these players, and I don't think it's too much of a generalisation to say that Japanese players, in the main, the ones who cross over to major European clubs, are by and large pretty technically gifted and have that speed and work rate. I don't mean to overly generalise there, but that's I'm assuming the reason that Ange Postecoglou has identified these guys from that region. So I'm really looking forward to see what he's got, because we've, at various points of this season, we've been missing Callum McGregor, we've been missing Kyogo, we've been missing key players, but what's been bubbling under the surface there has been David Turnbull has been played every single game up until he could play no longer. He got a really bad injury and he's talked about getting maybe missing the next 2 months. It's maybe gone unnoticed by many that if he goes out, we've got nothing there. And as you say, we've got Rogic. Could you plug a gap in midfield? Yes, you could. You could put Beaton in there. You could put McCarthy at a push Sorrow, but it's a completely different midfield. There's no replacing Turnbull. So hopefully Hitati is that guy.
What sort of player do you want him to be? Where's the gap there? Where is the player between the sort of playmaker and Tom Rogic and the sort of, I don't know, what sort of role would you give to David Turnbull? Just an advanced attacking midfielder or something like that? Where does Hitati fit into this?
Well, the way Celtic are playing now with McGregor and Turnbull and Rogic, when we've got everybody fit, when you look at that, the balance isn't quite right there, I don't feel. I feel like we maybe, look, McGregor's great there, Turnbull and Rogic are both very good players and they played well together, but you just feel we need a bit more energy in there, because they're good players, they get about. I have no problems with how they've both been pressing, but I just feel we could do with that wee bit more dynamism, that wee bit more energy.
Sometimes it's what I feel, sorry to talk over you, but you're sort of...
Don't let it happen again.
It's fine. 2022, the year of interruptions.
Same as 2021.
Yeah, exactly. It always goes on. I feel it's like the runs beyond. I feel like when Rogic's on the ball making things happen, we've got Kyogo ahead of him, you know, making runs
doing
in the box.
Doing his thing.
But you don't have David Turnbull's not making the run beyond. He's not getting into the box. And I feel like that's maybe the sort of profile of player we're missing in there.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. That I think Turnbull and Rogic are more sort of number 10s, to put it in that sort of context. But Hitati maybe a number 8, where you're box to box sort of thing, but with an attacking threat. We've spoke about in the past about when Turnbull and Rogic are on the edge of the box, they're both on the edge of the box. You want somebody breaking in, somebody like Petrov done in the past, or Stuart Armstrong, somebody who's going to make those runs, and they'll not necessarily get goals, but if he makes that run, it leaves Rogic on the edge of the box to do his things, and it takes away defenders, which in turn creates other space for the other attacking players.
Adeguchi coming in, had obviously an unsuccessful spell at Leeds, that's been discussed to death, and Ange says he thinks he's got a point to prove. He thinks that he still wants to prove himself in Europe, and he's coming over here with a point to prove. Defensive midfielder, sort of breaks things up, doesn't really get forward too often. He's someone that you're probably going to see at the base. Do you think he's coming in maybe to take the place of Sorrow? Anytime Sorrow's dropped in, he's an upgrade on the options for Sorrow, maybe even an upgrade in options on James McCarthy, more like the sort of player Ange would want in there when it comes to it?
Yeah, I've got to assume so. Again, we've had all the scouting done, and we're going to release that soon. But broadly speaking, I think the reason for bringing a player like that to the club is to address the fact that we've got plenty of players in the position, but are any of them necessarily suited to what we're trying to achieve with this team? I'm not convinced by it. They're
pretty good
players,
aren't they? Come on.
Cut straight to the point. Yeah, I was trying my best there to be diplomatic, but then Melly's actually right. He's 100% right. They're all fairly poor
options. Well, when we called Soro last season, I called him undercooked. Mm. Yeah. And I just don't feel like he's been more cooked.
He's basically just been left on the shelf. He's been left under one of those lamps that just dries things out. Yeah, what an analogy this this has been. A months-long analogy about Soro's cookedness. Soro is miles off it now. He's not anywhere near the team. I think he featured a little bit against Betis, didn't he, in that dead rubber game, but he's not been heavily featured in squads. And now we're starting to talk about guys like Henderson coming back, who's gone on loan. So, and Shaw has come back and gone on loan. But Soro's still just hovering about there in a kind of no man's land of the squad. So I don't really expect him to be around much longer. He's already been linked with moves away. I think Soro, he's a gamble worth taking these guys on occasion, but it's just unfortunate that very few of them work out these days.
It's a position that the Celtic have really, for the purposes of talk, we'll call it the Scott Brown position. It's a position we've really, really struggled to fill.
Tried for years, yeah.
For years and years and years. And one thing that we've always just tried to fill it with £1 or £2 or £3 million signings. Mm. We've never went out and actually invested heavily in there. Now, I can't remember the Adeguchi fee. In fact, it might have even been undisclosed. I'm not sure what the situation was with that fee. But it seems like it's a position where we've really, really struggled to bring in a quality player that could fill that gap, someone that could hold down the position. I'm thinking all the way back, Kouassi, Soro. Yeah. These guys have came and gone.
Yeah, it's probably Wanyama was the last one we really could say. He was in there and didn't cost a lot, but he came in and developed very well. Scott Brown sort of overtakes MD. He's the captain. He's always going to play, but we don't quite have that now. And the Adeguchi one is a wee bit of a... just not quite sure on it because, right, okay, depending where it is, does this mean we're going to move Callum McGregor forward, which would be fine, but if not, then he's not going to play much. Callum McGregor's the captain.
Yeah.
His best position probably has been that number six this season. Yeah. He's looked great there and he's that metronome in there that makes Celtic tick and gets Celtic moving forward. We spoke about McCarthy and Beaton in there. Done okay, but just slow it down a bit. McGregor doesn't do that, whether Adeguchi can do that, but I just don't see Callum McGregor sitting out 10-12 games between now and the end of the season for him to get games. Well, that means Callum McGregor moves forward, happy with that, but at the same time I still think his best position is number six. But happy for Adeguchi to come in. If he's got a point to prove, then he's got to win the place in the team, doesn't
because
he?
Who are our number six options then? If Callum McGregor's out, you're looking at McCarthy, still Soro, who's on the books, Beaton.
Beaton's probably the first choice.
And now Adeguchi. I mean, that's a lot of players just for that one position. You would expect at least one to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of those, as we've kind of been talking about, a lot of those players are there. Yes, they're part of the squad. They're on the books. But are they necessarily all that trusted in the team? I don't know. Mm. I think Beaton has gone some way to dispelling those fears about him, you know, pulling his bullshit, basically pulling his nonsenses that he does at the back.
Well,
and I think
you know what we said about the graph. the longer he plays, the more likelihood of some bullshit happening.
But we've got a lot of players who aren't trusted in there. I can't sit here and possibly say that Adeguchi is going to be better than them, because the fact is, I don't know. What I said at the start of this was that I'm working on the assumption that they're going to be good, and then, you know, we can deal with it if they're not. But if we take that Adeguchi is going to be competition for that position, then I think it probably removes McCarthy and Soro altogether. And Beaton is he's been there for 10 years, basically been a utility player. So he'll still play his part. But if Adeguchi is the main threat or the main competition for that position, then I think that tightens things up a wee bit. Mm. If it's a player that Postecoglou trusts in there, I think that's an improvement on what currently exists.
That's definitely the thing for me, because with what we've been speaking about here, Adeguchi will be Postecoglou's man. There's no doubt about that. We inherited Beaton and McGregor. McGregor, captain's going to play. He's one of our best players. Soro as well. He's barely featured unless he's had to. So you can say, know his type of player. But with Adeguchi coming in, he's definitely his man. So I like it. I quite like the fact that Beaton and McCarthy can do a job. That's not enough for Postecoglou. Yeah. He's going, no, I need these guys. And look, Adeguchi, we don't quite know the fee involved for all three of them, but it doesn't seem like a massive splash of cash.
They're getting good value out of these players.
Good ages as well. They're not these like teenagers that we pick up and then they go on loan a couple of times and then disappear. These are all you know, as much as I take into account the adaptation issues with traveling to a completely different continent, a completely different style of football, they're all effectively ready-made players. 24, 25, that's, you know, you're already pretty much the full package.
And they all seem to become with a point to prove. Another one that Ange said has a point to prove is Dyson Maeda. He was on loan in Portugal. That's the noise I made, Melly, when I was listening to the scout and when I've been watching him. This guy looks... You don't want to say he looks like another Kyogo, because Kyogo's come and set the header alight. We've not seen anything like it. You know what I mean? We've not seen anything like the impact that Kyogo's made in such a short space of time for quite a wee while now. But I'm just thinking in my head, Jota on the right, Maeda on the left, Kyogo through the middle, that's strong.
Yeah, it's just reminding me of Salah, Mane and Firmino, just that sort of interchangeable.
Oh, you had it here first, folks.
Yeah. Aye, really, you don't do ifs, buts or maybes, no, you're no. talking absolutes, do you?
Well, we know Jota and Kyogo are quality already, yeah. So if we can get somebody in there, there's a space up there for somebody else to come in, isn't there? Forrest has been in and out, Johnson hasn't nailed down a place. No. Whoever's been in there, it's always been Kyogo, Jota and somebody else. It looks like it's going to be Maeda coming in there, and if he's top goal scorer in Japan, it would have been him and Kyogo going for it. It's unusual for Ange Postecoglou to bring backroom staff or former players, but he's went out and sort of broken his own rule. I don't think, looking back at his career, he's brought many people from clubs with him. He's done that with Maeda, so I'm happy that he's judging his judgment on this, because he's got it right with Kyogo, he's got it right with Jota. And Maeda, if going by the, I know it's the YouTube thing and all the scouting we've done, but looks like another superstar.
Looks like absolute no-brainer, Stephen. Burst of pace, aggressive. I mean, he's like
bald.
I had it bald, yeah. I had a look at, I think he's 5'8", but see the
looks
way...
Looks like Derek Ferguson.
The way he throws his weight about in these games is unbelievable. I just think, I don't want to say, he looks like a better Morelos.
right,
a more
okay,
skillful,
yeah.
More pacey Morelos. You know, that wee bulldog up front, you know?
Well, I certainly hope so, yeah. Again, I'm trying to be careful here, because it all seems so good, but then I have to leave that whatever 10% of my mind brain here, where I'm thinking, are four Japanese players going to come into the team and all settle and all play that?
Yeah.
Is that almost impossible?
I think it is. Being realistic, I think it is impossible. I think we're going to see, I think Maeda is going to become a permanent fixture in the starting 11. I think Hatate's going to come in and out. He'll probably play now that David Turnbull's injured, yeah. And he might even take David Turnbull's place off him, depending on how well he does. But David Turnbull's been weighing in with goals and assists all that recently. And I think Ediguchi's going to come in and out, fill in and out when required.
And probably be next season before we get to see the true Ediguchi, I'd
that's
say.
True. In many ways, Ediguchi should be the most ready one, because I think, off the top of my head, I think he's the most experienced international of the few. I think Hatate is actually uncapped. A lot of people were worried that he's going to get called up for Japan very soon and he won't be available. But I think he, as you say, he's uncapped. I think Maeda's only get two caps or something. But as far as I know, Ediguchi is far more experienced in that way. So he should be the one. But it's just, I'm only going off these hints and impressions that we got from people in the know of that part of the world who were kind of like, don't really know about the Ediguchi thing. So we'll see how it goes. One thing that I'm absolutely sure about, though, is that it has strengthened the squad. Again, we take into account that not every signing is going to work out. That's the case with anyone, regardless of they're coming from Japan or not.
We know all too well.
yes, we do. And dare I say it, Celtic have got, I think, as I said earlier, they've got options for pretty much every position. Because we're getting Julian back. Stephen Welsh has been linked with a move away. But if Welsh stays, then I think we're looking pretty good in every position. We've got three pretty good fullbacks battling out for two positions as well.
I mean,
all looks good.
I was having a wee look earlier. Ange could, in theory, field a starting 11 based only on players he's brought to the club. And it's summer to January window, which is quite remarkable. I can't remember the last time a Celtic team have brought in that many players. Hart and goal, obviously. Scales or Hatate at left back, take your pick. Carter Vickers, Starfelt, Juranovic, Jota, Ediguchi, McCarthy, Abada, Maeda and Kyogo. There's a starting 11 there of purely players that have come in during this manager's tenure.
Are we going down the route of the one team for the league, one team for the Champions League?
Yes.
Stuff, the Rangers 90s.
One team for the league, one team for the Conference League. That's what we're looking at. Do you think, Melly, but this represents a change in the way that Celtic are doing the business? I mean, we're still linked to players and we'll come to the players we've been linked to. We signed Johnny Kenny, but I think he's more of a development player, albeit on a five-year deal. Martin Boyle, all this sort of stuff. But the fact that we've got these players in so early, different manager, different CEO. Ange did express in the summer that he was quite frustrated at the length of time things were taking. People assumed that might have been someone else's fault or whatever the case may be. it looks like the club's going in a slightly different direction with these things. You know, the days of the Peter Law, everything dragging on. I don't want to speak too soon.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to speak too soon, but it seems like we've definitely speeded things up. We've streamlined things a wee bit. And also, where does this leave the conversation about directors of football and all that sort of stuff? Because the whole purpose of a director of football is kind of to put that buffer between the manager and the board. And you don't have the old school thing where the manager just fills a team with players that suit his style of play and what he wants. Then if it doesn't work out, you have to start all over again. So we all like Ange. We're all impressed, I think, with new direction. But is there an element of risk here? If this doesn't work out...
That's the wee niggle in the back of my mind here, because when we're looking at these signings with Kyogo, a lot of the guys, I think Ange said about Juranovic, he came in and they were after somebody else and he went, no, Juranovic is the man. And then these three guys, and if the Australian midfielder comes in, you can just go, well, these are all Ange's players. But long term with Celtic, things are getting done quicker. Tremendous. Ange is getting, he's been backed. I don't think we can really argue with that now. It's always, he'll do well if he's been backed.
Well, that was a question I was going to come to. But,
But the whole director of football thing is still niggling in the back of my mind, because if Ange goes, everything goes then.
Yeah.
The way we play, there's not many other managers that will come in and play this system. So you're looking at it short term, it's good, probably needed. But at the end of the day, remember when we finished at the start of September, we said, where's the rest of it? Nothing else has happened. So you're looking at it, where does Celtic go long term from here? Because when we lost Brendan Rodgers, everything went. When Neil Lennon went, Peter Law went, all that upheaval. Ange Postecoglou goes in a year, 2 years, does everything else disappear with him?
Yeah.
It's a weird one. While we're happy things are moving forward and Celtic are doing things that they've never done before, there's still that wee inkling in the back of my mind. What's the long-term plan here? Because the likelihood is you're not going to get another Ange Postecoglou, a guy that comes in by himself, does pretty much everything. There's not many managers out there that do that.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it just now, but it is a valid concern at this point in time, because you're very heavily suiting the current manager, and well, what happens if he leaves and we get Mark McGee in, for example, or Owen Coyle. We finally pair the dream team of Mark McGee and Owen Coyle in the Celtic dugout. But I do take it into account, because as much as we're getting carried away in this whirlwind of transfers and all these, it's like a whole new world has been opened up to us now. Previously, we're going into a transfer window, it's almost like, right, which championship players are we going to sign this time? And now we'll get players coming in from Japan. We're being linked with players from
Iran. We got a lad
in
for Ireland.
Yeah. Ireland as well. We got Australian players
linked. Did you get that Aladdin joke? A whole new world? Did you pick up on that?
It's very good. Yeah. So it's very...
like, maybe 2022, but I'm still not lost it.
Sharp.
That was a belt. I should have said Aladdin from Iran, because I think that's kind of...
It's the Manscaped effect. we're all sharp in there. Razor sharp. It's very exciting times, but as much as we're getting carried away with this stuff, there is, as Melly says, in the back of the mind, we're thinking, are we leaving ourselves in a bit of a spot here if we don't have that long-term sort of contingency plan in place?
What is the other option? If there was a director of football in place and Ange goes, I want you to say Maeda, and the director of football goes, actually, there's this guy down south. You know, it's you risk upsetting the manager. And just another thing, if you could spot the jokes and not have me explain them...
I'm concentrating real hard. I'm trying not to get caught out, just mumbling rubbish and trying to form a point on the hoof here. I'm trying my best not to get caught out, the imposter that I am.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls. It's time to bring sexy back in 2022 and step up your game with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Join 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped to help them ring in the new year with the right tools for the job. Go to manscaped.com, use discount code TIMS for 20% off and free shipping. It's a new year and a new you, and a new you means, Stephen?
New, freshly shorn balls. Let's get it all fixed, gentlemen. It's 2022, time to let go of that thatch.
The read says, a new you means no pubes. More succinct than what Stephen did. So if you would like to trim your balls and have them looking lovely, manscaped.com, discount code TIMS, free shipping, 20% off, manscaped.com, discount code TIMS. It doesn't matter whether or not we've got a director of football in or not. Ange does seem to have a strong hand in the way things are going. And another player we're like with is Riley McGree. Just change it to McGee. Makes things a lot.
It's not a real person. Riley McGree.
Yeah, makes things a lot easier. On loan at Birmingham. I think not Middlesbrough were in for him, but they can match his wages. It seems that Ange Postecoglou again has a strong hand in this. I think the Daily Record were reporting they seem to be quite close to this one for whatever reason. That Ange took a personal interest, phoned the guy up, $3 million deal. Looks like it's been announced. I've been checking Twitter periodically as we've recorded this to see if it gets announced. I think Ange gave him his first Australia cap.
Right.
So that they sort of know each other there. But I've got to admit, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, are we now getting a bit midfield heavy? If you look at Forrest, and I'm including in my calculation here, Forrest and Mikey Johnson, but they're not really contributing, are they?
Well, no, I think from what I've seen of McCree, he might be like the sort of Ryan Christie mould. He can play like sort of centre or out wide. And I feel with...
Can I just pause you? There's a G.
And McCreig.
McGree.
McGree.
McGree, yeah.
This is going to cause me chaos.
Related to Mark McGree, he's already had a mention.
Oh, did I mention Dad? I think he's... When we've been looking at this and we were getting to the January transfer window and you go, like, what does Celtic need? And then you go, well, we need this. What are we going to get? Because it's Celtic and it's going to be that and it's one guy or something, Willow Flood. Mm-hmm. But with bringing in Hatate, who is utility, and Ediguchi, you sort of know where they might play. Mm. With this guy, I think we needed two out-and-out central midfielders. And if we're getting that with Hatate and him, look, Rogic... He's not going to be able to do it all season. It's no fair on him. Turnbull's already out.
Yeah.
If you're moving McGregor, if it's going to be McGregor and Ediguchi, I always thought we needed these two midfielders. After the three Japanese guys came in, I thought that might be it for a while, but less than a week later, we're bringing this guy in. So
you're saying there's maybe more purpose to this? We're not just bringing in players for the sake of it. We're identifying we need backup for him, another option here.
It looks like he's of an age where he's going to play. He's been playing at Birmingham. Yeah. He's on loan from Charlotte, who aren't actually playing games, so that's why he's been out on loan. So he's been playing in a decent league where he's been playing the good old British football, but he's playing a lot of games because the Championship play a mental amount of games. Yeah. So it should be a pretty seamless transition for him. So hopefully it's another guy who's first team ready. And if you're maybe looking at him, you maybe probably see more of him than Ediguchi and maybe Hatate to start with if he's ready made.
The other side of this as well, what we need to take into account, despite the fact we don't know who and when players are going to need to go as well. Players will need to leave.
I do have a wee note here. We're going to get to there. Okay. But you're right. You're bang on.
Exactly. So if we take it, if McGree is to come in, all these Japanese players are to come in, we're being linked with, let's say, Iranian players. This McGree thing seems to have come out of nowhere. Yeah, it's all improving the squad on the surface of things, but ultimately players are going to have to leave as well. Maybe there's a big sale coming. Maybe there's, you know.
That's the thing, but everybody's new. So okay. We don't really have MD2 that a big sale, do we?
Well, maybe it's not a big sale.
When you said a big sale, I thought you meant as in everything must go.
Right, okay.
You know, so like numbers going to fire sale. Yeah, well, like a bit of a three or four guys having to leave.
It could be what I meant was a big sale, but Melly's right, there's not really any saleable assets that aren't brand new. And we're not going to be selling Kyogo in this window. That's ludicrous. So what I mean is maybe there's an unexpected one. Maybe Mikey Johnston is to go. I'm not saying that Mikey Johnston's on his way out. What I'm saying is maybe it's someone like that. Maybe that sort of profile of player.
We've done no bad getting players out. As you said, Shaw went on loan. Henderson's went on loan, but he's basically effectively left the club. He's on loan until his contract runs out at the end of the season. We've got the problem with Ayeti. Barkas has been linked consistently. Soro's been linked to him. Bowling goalie's still there or thereabouts.
They've all got to go.
That's the ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're looking at Barkas, big fee, probably on a decent wage, Ayeti the same, Bowling Goal, rhyming them off makes me feel a wee bit sick, but they've not been good enough. They're taking
They were about 5 million a piece, weren't they?
Give or take. Yeah. So you're looking at the guts of 12 to 15 million on guys that are, if they go, they're contributing absolutely nothing anyway, so it's not that big a loss. And if anything, if they go, the squad looks stronger rather than weaker. But we just need these guys off the wage bill. But that's easier said than done, because you need to find somebody who's going to want these guys, who we are like, do you want this dud or this dud or this dud? And
well, that's his agent's job. You think these guys' agents, particularly Barkas, must be the most miserable guy at the club. You know, he must be on his agent. Look, I was playing Champions League football before I came here. I was playing for the Greek champions. And
I'm the best keeper at the club and I'm still not getting the team.
There's guys on the internet saying I'm the best keeper at the club and I'm still going to get a game. This manager's lost his mind. So you need to get me out of here. People did think Andrew had lost his mind. We were linked with Martin Boyle. 3 million was the quoted fee from Hibs, which we know transfer fees are an illusion, right? Yeah. We know transfer fees are really an illusion based on many, many things: length of contract, what you need to do to get the deal done, all this sorts of stuff. You know,
buying and selling clubs are huge. The turnovers of each respective club is pretty much all of it in England now.
The league and people are like, well, 3 million strong money for Martin Boyle. I'd tend to agree with that, but then they've just knocked back £2 million from Saudi Arabia, so it's not as if they're putting a tax on it because Celtic have came knocking. It seems like £3 million is the deal if you want Martin Boyle, regardless of where you are in the world. I actually think Martin Boyle, depending on who else we're linked with, right, it doesn't look like we need a Martin Boyle type player now, but I don't think Martin Boyle would necessarily have been a bad signing for Celtic given how our other wingers are performing. Decent numbers and knows the league. Would just come slot right, knows the city, really smart there. Would come and slot right in, and sometimes, just occasionally, the SPFL players do okay for you. And it's a player that Ange knows well. Deliberately putting that in a tweet so people would pull me up, but I had the receipts. Ange said himself that it is a player that he knows well. I just wouldn't necessarily be against it. If it was I think that's putting people off is the fee. See, if it was 500,000. People would go, for half a million, that's no bad. But because people are saying 3 million. But the reality is the feed doesn't really matter. It's not coming out of our pockets.
Yeah. It's not coming out of our pockets, but with the way things have been going, if you had said when we were playing games, like Martin Boyle come in, I mean, do you know what? We need him. Just it doesn't really matter about the fee, but the fact we've got these three guys in early, another one on the way by the looks of any minute now.
I don't think any of them are wingers, though. I think that's the issue.
Well, Maeda could play there, but then that gives us options elsewhere, because the injuries, if Forrest comes back, if Mikey Johnson isn't under pressure to just perform and all that, and that's up to him. But with Martin Boyle,
Martin Boyle's better than Pereira. This season he's performing a bit.
He's having a great season.
He's playing, that's a start for him. But at his age, and we've spoke about it a lot with the wingers thing as well, what we're going to get a year out of him where he's going to be good. And for that money, look, that is a lot of money for a guy from Scotland. Happy to pay it if it's a guy like Stuart Armstrong, John McGinn, who you're going to get years of service out or sell on. Martin Boyle, as soon as you buy him, you're never getting half of that back. Because
it is the money. It is the financials rather than the player.
Yeah, but as well as that, 29, is he coming to the point in his career where he's going to fit in at Celtic with the way we play, with the constant pressing and all that? I think it's a young man's game for that. And also, guys like Martin Boyle, we see them all the time, like Michael Harlan and all these guys that are doing well for teams in Scotland and then get their move to Celtic or Rangers and just can't hack it because there's no space in behind. Yeah. They've not got that. They're the main man there. Then they just become just another player, a squad player. They're not getting the game time. When they play, they have to perform. They can't do it. And I think it's mainly the space thing because it's all about pace for him. But if he's not getting the space in behind and he's turning 29, when his pace goes, I don't see much else for him.
I think the age and the fee are basically the main factors in this. I think Boyle would probably contribute something. It'd be silly to us for anyone to look at the league and say, yeah, but Abada's scoring goals, Kyogo's scoring goals. But so is Boyle at the same level. That's not to be totally dismissed. But I do take into account that I think he's about to be 29. And 3 million, as much as I don't care about transfer fees, again, you said
it. For the most time, it doesn't bother
almost
me that much.
Arbitrary, but it's like... I only
care when it's wasted.
Yes.
When you look at the players that don't work out, you go, can't believe we spent 5 million on him. But if Martin Boyle came in and did a good job, wouldn't they necessarily care if we paid 500 grand or 3 million for him? I mean, you would think if we went above 3 million into the realms of 4 or 5 million, there's probably better players out there. You could probably go to the English Championship, pick up a
winger. Value for money, and the guys were going from Japan or maybe an Iranian and that.
Yeah.
And on the fee as well, see if Hibs can get that. They're more than entitled to dig in for that fee because there's a weird, and it's natural, I'm not criticising, but there's a weird hypocrisy when it comes to your club because we demand the top dollar for players that we sell to England, but also we kind of want clubs to just give up. They want clubs to give up their best player for buttons, right? That's kind of what we want. But everybody wants that. Everybody wants to have their cake and eat it. But Hibs are well within their rights to say he's our best player. He scored 15 goals. If some team from, I don't know, the Arab Emirates or something like wants to pay £3 million.
I think he's still got like 2 or 3 years left in his contract
They should absolutely dig in and get as much money as possible. If that's the Celtic, I just don't see it happening. It has been a major story, but I really don't see them paying that for a near 29-year-old who... would contribute, yes, but wouldn't be a major part of the team.
No, I think if Martin Boyle wasn't Australian, that I don't think a link would be there at all. But at the same time, what was Martin Boyle got? 15 goals, you said?
Something like that, yeah.
See, if he had got 15 goals, but you take away that Rangers hat-trick and put it against any other teams, do you think we'd be even thinking about him? Would he be on it?
He's maybe best left at Hibs and hope he scores a hat-trick against Rangers in the league game. Does the more damage against them in the other games?
In any games I've seen him, he's looked all right, but that was the one game where he stood out and it was good because it was funny because they get absolutely pumped. But if you take that game away from him, I'm not seeing a guy that's standing out near enough every week. Oh. When I seen John McGinn and Stuart Armstrong, those types of guys coming from the league, it was a no-brainer. Like, just get these guys in. They're better than everyone around them. No getting that with Martin Boyle. I know we've had guys like Hartley and Robson that come in later on in their career, but they came in for less than a million.
Well, maybe a good comparison is he's the same, a similar age, and he's a striker and is scoring goals. Tony Watt is having a very similar season to Martin Boyle. He scored, I think he's the top scorer in the league at the moment. You wouldn't dream of signing Tony Watt. So, we actually do need a centre forward at the moment to kind of complement Kyogo and to get rid of Ayeti. Would you sign Tony Watt?
No.
Categorically, no. So, I think Martin Boyle probably falls into that.
Do you know who's for sale? We could get his club looking to move him on. Lauren Shankland. Did you see those quotes? Stephen, you put them in the group chat earlier. I might still have them on my phone here. This is actually quite something. If you've not seen this is absolutely unbelievable. From Ron, Lauren Shankland, who, where is he, Stephen? Beershot?
Belgium.
Beershot. Who did we buy from Beershot?
Wanyama, wasn't it?
Wanyama, yeah. He said, we got a day out at the start of the season. People go out here to socialise and just have a couple of glasses of wine. Back home, it's about how mad you can get as quickly as possible. That's probably the bit you miss the most. The crack you get in the change rooms as well. Maybe my banter is just bad because they don't understand it, but there are language barriers all over the place. Lauren Shankland here, shocked that foreign people speak foreign languages at their work. Scotland has always been brilliant and I've been lucky enough to have great change rooms. Maybe one day I'll be back in amongst them, then I'll not miss it as much. I know when you say players have failed to settle. You know, players come from foreign countries to Scotland and they fail to settle. It's usually because the booze culture isn't strong enough for them. Can't have a right good piss up here. It's crap.
Banner
I want to go back to Italy. They're not laughing at any of his jokes. They're not getting pissed. Unbelievable.
I hasten to add that he has moved to Belgium, which is about an hour away on a flight. Yeah. Is that an hour for London or something like that? He hasn't moved to a village in Mozambique or something like that.
Still it's rather than go to China, is it?
No, exactly. So that there's Scottish football for you.
Yeah. It does give you an insight into some Scottish footballers' mentality. That's a Scotland international there.
They don't get mad with it enough in Belgium. So
he moved from Dundee to Belgium.
Yep.
And that's too much of a culture shock for him because there's no enough Bevian. He could just take up eating chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Lee Griffiths has done. speaking of Dundee, Dundee want to send Lee Griffiths back. Celtic went, no, listen.
Switch the phone off.
Yeah, you break it, you buy it. They don't want anything. They don't want anything to do with Lee Griffiths anymore. I think there's a lot of vitriol towards Lee Griffiths on the internet, and that's just the way Twitter is. That's just the way social media is. You need to be absolutely furious about things to get people to notice you most of the time, or you could be just good looking and funny like us. But what happened with Lee Griffiths is, I think, Melly, Celtic just held on to him too long. Yeah. This was always going to happen to Lee Griffiths. He was always going to get unfit, a bit bloated, and chuck it. But there's massive part of Lee Griffiths' Celtic career where he was a tremendous servant for us, tremendous striker. We should have just let go of him, and that lockdown more or less did it. He didn't have the mentality to train on his own and look after himself. The lockdown training and all that, the training regimes that he didn't stick to behind closed doors, that more or less killed his Celtic career, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, and again, it's a Celtic's fault here. We were never prepared for life without Lee Griffiths because we were always worrying about selling the guy ahead of Lee Griffiths. Griffiths was another guy, despite being a good player when he did play in a goal scorer, they rely on him. One good season that he's still hanging out of, isn't it? He's just that 40 goal a season striker, and it just gets further and further.
I don't think that's him. He doesn't do a lot of talking about that, but a lot of Celtic dads on the internet will remind you every chance they get that he had a 40 goal season.
It'd be funny if he had one of those t-shirts on under his shirt that wasn't about a current goal scoring achievement. Like, remember Ian Wright did about the 187 goals, he just pulled up his top and it said 40 goals 7 years ago under his
he could write it from side to side. He would need two lines. I'll just say 40 goals 7 years ago.
40 would even be written out. Yeah. But the guy Celtic,
stop fat shaming Griffiths.
Celtic should have let him go at the start of the season. It was again that desperation when we gave him and Ralston the Ralston things worked out well, but we were just like, we need bodies in here, and that was Celtic's fault again. But at the same time, like talking about Lawrence Shankland, he's got a long way to go in his career, but with Lee Griffiths, we telegraphed this a long time ago when Brendan Rodgers came in, and the standards upped at Celtic. Dembele came in. Yes, he was still a good player, but he was getting these niggly injuries all the time, and there was
Brendan
all those.
Rodgers spoke about it, didn't he? He told them he'd buck up his ideas publicly more than once.
Yeah, and you're like, how is this going to go when Brendan Rodgers leaves? And Lennon got a tune out of him for a while, but that goes as well. It's not always down to the manager, it's down to the player. He is a professional footballer, but he's more of a footballer than professional.
Well, that's why I don't really hold it against Lee Griffiths, because Lee Griffiths, he is what he is. And you need to get the best out of Lee Griffiths, he needs micromanagement. And there's only so long there's only so much fuel in that tank at the Celtic level.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying. Like, Lee Griffiths hasn't suddenly decided to become unprofessional. Lee Griffiths always kind of was unprofessional. Or unprofessional is really harsh. Lee Griffiths' level.
Eight Termix tea cakes at the side of the pitch.
That's it. You know, Lee Griffiths' level of professionalism wasn't always where it needed to be. Yeah. Right. And that was always the case. Maybe for the day he walked in the club. But we ran that tank dry, and we should have just let him go maybe 2 years ago.
Nah, there's loads of stories from his early career about how eating McDonald's breakfast on his way to training and all that. Those stories
Ronnie
are
Ronnie Dyle informed him about Lucas Aid.
Ronnie Dyle told him Lucas Aid wasn't good for you. I mean, he's mid-20s at that point. I'm just looking forward to it just being over now and we can just stop talking about him, because
do you worry that everyone associated with losing the league last year, bar Callum McGregor, regardless of what they did before, just gets completely flamed, torched.
Griffiths is different, but because it's again the wasted talent thing, isn't it? We can tell there's a player.
He's not 21, he's 31.
But he should have been playing last season, he should be playing this season if he had kept up what he was doing. He chose not to, he chose to let Celtic down again and again, and that's when you're getting to it.
Like, he fits in perfectly Dundee though, doesn't he, with like the Charlie Adams and the
Motley Crue. He doesn't even fit in there, but he's not even playing regularly.
Well, that's it.
And where does the guy go from here? Like Lennon said last season, you told us that he'll not be a professional this time next year. And look, he's a professional because he's got a contract, but not playing, he doesn't look like a professional. Like, where does the guy go from here? Because that's Dundee, bottom of the
league. Kelty Hearts or something. Maybe.
Maybe he'll still have pals in the game that will get him a gig somewhere, but it's not going to be at the top level. But I don't think he is necessarily associated with last season because I think he's got enough distance from it that I don't even think about him being in the team last season. But there's certain off-field stuff that I don't really want to get into that's associated with Griffiths as well that people were incensed by and still are today. So I think it's just, it was right that
I feel like you're saying it's a sorry episode that needs to come to an end. Yeah,
that's exactly it. And on that note, we will speak to you next week. A sorry episode that needs to come to an end.
Ewan Henderson, Stephen, one of your former guys, unbelievably made his debut in 2018. Seems like, well, it doesn't seem like 4 years ago. Well, it was 4 years ago. That's how maths works. He's left the club. I saw some criticism for him not being given a chance, sort of stuff. But see, any player of that ilk that leaves Celtic, very rarely does it come to back to bite his arse, does it? I mean, the likes of Dylan McGeoch and all this sort of stuff, they're not playing for a reason most of the time.
Yeah, Rodgers, Lennon, now Postecoglou, all don't play the guy unless it's necessary. It's not about being given a chance. We always speak about it. You earn the chance. He's in there. He had times when Celtic were decimated with injuries and he still didn't play. Nothing against the guy. He came in, lived the dream, done better than me. He's became a professional player. He's played for Celtic. Scored his first goal for Celtic recently.
Did he do this though?
Absolutely not.
Probably what Spurs him on to be a professional footballer. Exactly. But like the guy's just, he's not up there to be Celtic. And there's nothing wrong with that because so many players will come through at Celtic, make their debut and just not quite make it. It's a hard thing to do. There's so little Celtic players that come through the ranks and go on to have careers at Celtic or leave Celtic on to bigger, better things. There's very few. And look, the guy's given his all. It's just not worked out.
Celtic have posted a Twitter update. Oh. An update here. Get an online life insurance quote from Celtic Compare and you won't be just getting a great deal for you and your family. You'll also enter the Celtic Rewards Club for your chance to win amazing hashtag Celtic FC prizes every month. Get an online quote now and there's a picture of Kyogo on it. I don't know.
Invoice them for that, by the way.
If that's where Kyogo gets his life insurance.
See on the getting a chance thing at Celtic, this is a topic that comes up time and again, and we've had the discussion many, many times on the podcast, but what I would challenge people who say that kind of thing to do is realise that it's easy to say that such and such player was never given a chance. Ewan Henderson was never given a chance. Uruguide should be given a chance. But you have to realise that has to come at the expense of another player. What does that look like? Do we take out David Turnbull from the team and play Henderson for 10 games and on the off chance that he is better than Turnbull, because you're handicapping yourself there potentially, because Turnbull is a very good player and we know that, and we're signing players to augment the team. And meanwhile, we've got this guy who doesn't quite fit in. He's maybe not quite at the level, but people are unwilling to let go because he has, quote, hasn't had a chance. It doesn't really make sense practically because ultimately Celtic need to win games. You have to balance that. Yes, they do need an opportunity, but to be honest, if you're good enough, you will play. Look at Kieran Tierney. The guys who stand out at a certain age almost certainly will play. Ralston is a bit of a red herring in this because he was earmarked very, very early on. And he fell off a wee bit and it took him a long time to prove again that he was worth playing. He wasn't a guy who just floated around, never been picked. He was picked at 17, 18 years old and it took him a long time to come back and actually prove his worth. So I don't think it's worth hanging your hat on the Ibert Ralston get a chance and look at him now. So many players will just fall off and, as you say, will never come back to bite us in the arse. It just happens all the time.
And Hibbs is a strong move. Hibbs is a good move for the boy.
It's a strong move. Great move.
Good manager. In there with Sean Maloney and Gary Caldwell, who they're next home game in the delayed fixture. That's actually, by the way, that home game is next Monday, isn't it? So we'll be releasing this podcast next Tuesday. So we won't be doing the podcast. Won't be doing the podcast on the Monday. Need to get back to winning ways in the league, Melly. We've had our break. We've had the transfer windows coming and going, and the transfers in and out, and all that sort of stuff. But the focus has to return to football. Has to return to league football. Has to return to closing the gap on them.
It does, and look, the Hibs game, the Alloa game was a nice one to kick off because you're like, Alloa, we should beat them. Hibs won with a new manager coming in. You're just like, oh, what players are we going to have back? But can't wait for the football to start again. It's going to be good. we might get to see one or two new guys.
Need to get back in the stadium, don't we? I mean, it's looking unlikely for the Hibs game, but we need to get back in the ground.
But the one thing, we can talk about all this, fans, players, new signings, bottom line, we need to win.
Yeah.
We need to win, and we need to go on a winning run now that closes the gap, because we're going to have to get to the point, if Rangers aren't dropping points elsewhere, we're going to need to beat them. So we need to get ready for that game whilst winning our games until then.
All while assimilating brand new players into the team and seeing
giving
how they
Henderson a chance.
Exactly. So all
he might, now that I've said he won't come and bite us in the ass, you know exactly what's going to happen.
He'll not be able to play back, will he?
Really?
He's on loan.
Of course, he's on loan.
Wait till next season, he brat backs us, definitely. Or who was that guy, the Norwegian guy that played up front, scored against
us? Johan Berger.
Yeah, Berger, of course. Larsson. It's been happened so many times. Henderson's going to be added to that illustrious list.
Berger's one of these players you forget plays for us entirely. I've forgotten his name already. The boy from Man U that he's on loan at Rochdale or something. Rotherham. We were talking about Liam.
Leo Connor.
Tranmere.
I only remember Berger because he scored against us. You don't remember what he'd done for Celtic.
Unbelievable. I saw Leo Connor. My God, I completely forgot that guy played for us. Koundé Benyu in the paper. I forgot he played for us as well.
He's at the African Cup of Nations at the moment. Yeah, what a turnaround.
He's playing his football in Iceland or something at the moment. Anyway, we have reached the end of this podcast, I think.
You mean we're not getting a chance to discuss the shock links with Cesc Fabregas?
Charlie Nicholas. Cesc Fabregas would fancy taking his wife and four or five kids, or how many kids he's got?
From Monaco
to Celtic Park.
For 1/8 of the wages.
From Monaco.
Get an EBT in there, we're fine.
From Monaco to Mogai, Cesc, you fancy it? Listen, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Melly, have you got any final thoughts?
No.
Stephen?
Also no, no.
No final thoughts. Thank you so much for listening. If you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe, like, leave some comments and stuff. Help us out with the algorithm. If you don't already, please consider supporting us on Patreon. It allows us to produce this wonderful podcast that you see here in front of you.
Stuff up in the wall as well. That's not free.
Look at the size of this plant. Do you know how much food this plant takes? So all that sort of good stuff. But most of all, just thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.